Chapter 9. Invisible. Jonah and I sneak through the castle under our invisibility cloak, looking for a good empty bedroom to sleep in. We find a pale blue room with two twin beds and decide to camp out there for the night. Jonah plops onto one bed and sneezes. The bed frames are kind of dusty. They clearly haven't been used in a while. At least I can lock the door so we don't have to sleep under the cloak. Even though Jonah had his nap at the dance resistance party, he falls asleep immediately. I climb into the other bed, not sure I'll be able to sleep since I'm so worried about Mary Rose and the plan, but I must be exhausted since I fall asleep right away too. The next morning, the loud chime we heard yesterday wakes us up. Sunlight is streaming through the arched windows. That chime must be what calls the princesses to breakfast. Through our locked door, I hear the 12 sisters making their way to the dining room. "Let's go," I whisper to Jonah. We get up, huddle under the cloak, and slip out of the bedroom. Invisible, we enter the dining room and watch a replay of yesterday's breakfast. The princesses sit primly at the table in their pink uniforms, tight buns, and scuffed shoes. The king says good morning by calling the princesses' numbers 1 through 12. The maids serve a delicious-looking breakfast. My stomach growls under the cloak. Oops. The king asks the princesses what they did last night to scuff their shoes, and they don't answer. Prince Jean is called in, and he admits he doesn't know what the princesses did. The king tells him he has one more chance, his last chance, to prove himself. Yikes. And then breakfast is over. Jonah and I wait until the king, the maids, and the princesses have left the room. Only Prince Jean remains, hanging out by the cart of breakfast leftovers. He looks confused and miserable. It's time to talk to him. Jonah and I take off our cloak.
"Ah!" Prince Jean yelps. "You've got to stop jumping out at people like that!"
"Sorry," I say. I hold up the cloak. "Remember the invisibility cloak we told you about? This is it. We used it last night to follow the princesses, because someone who was supposed to do that was fast asleep." His cheeks turn bright red, and he bites his lip.
"Sorry. I don't know what happened. I asked for strong coffee, and that's what I drank. Coffee!"
"Well, obviously the coffee didn't work," Jonah says with a frown.
"They must have put a sleeping potion in the coffee," I say. "You really should not drink anything they give you."
"Anywho," the prince says, his face brightening. "No need to dwell on that, because you two followed the princesses. So you got the proof of where they go? We good?"
Now it's my turn to bite my lip. I did get proof," I say sheepishly, "but I accidentally dropped it in the moat. There are snapping crocodiles in there."
"Lots of them," Jonah confirms.
"Uh-oh,"
the prince says. "Yeah. Look, Prince Jean," I say, "tonight is it. Our last chance." He swallows.
"I know."
"If you want to survive," I say, "if you want to be heir to the kingdom and live happily ever after, do not drink anything given to you tonight. Not a thing."
"Not a drop," Jonah adds. "Although, I guess Abby and I could follow the princesses again if we have to."
"No."
The prince lifts his chin.
"I can do it. I know I can."
He glances at my hand.
"Are you holding the cloak right now? Can I try it on?"
"Sure," I say, and hold it out to him. He carefully steps into it, and then he disappears.
"Can you see me?" Prince Jean asks.
"Nope," Jonah tells him.
"I can see you,"
the prince says, sounding worried. "That's because we're not invisible," I point out.
"Oh, right," Prince Jean says. "Excellent. Why is it so scratchy?"
"It just is,"
I say. We hear the invisible prince say. Maybe I should try to wash it. Uh-oh. Knowing Prince Jean, he'd try that and somehow mess with the cloak's magic, or lose the cloak entirely.
No, Jonah jumps in, clearly thinking the same thing. You should give the cloak back to us now. You don't need it until tonight.
Yes, that's probably for the best, I add firmly.
Okay,
the prince says with a shrug. He reappears and hands the cloak to me just as we hear footsteps approaching the dining room. Jonah and I immediately slip the cloak back over us. Terry, also known as Three, comes into the room and she smiles when she sees Prince Jean.
Oh, hi, she says, her cheeks turning pink. I just came to get another donut.
They are very good,
the prince says, helping himself to one too.
Are you nervous about tonight?
Terry asks him. I'm sure you'll succeed. The prince puffs out his chest.
I'll get some proof tonight for sure. The coffee seemed to have the wrong effect last night. It was supposed to keep me awake.
Terry sighs sadly.
I have tonight to make up for it, he says, and I will. I'm a prince, for royal's sake.
Terry looks around, then back at the prince. I have the feeling she wants to tell him the truth, or help him in some way. But she's one of the 12 dancing princesses. She won't say anything that will get her sisters and herself in trouble, will she?
Good luck,
she finally says, and darts out of the dining room. Aw, she feels bad for him, I whisper to Jonah. Oh, wait, I say, realizing something. Maybe he's her crush.
Oh,
if Terry likes the prince, maybe he can marry her instead of choosing the oldest princess, who obviously doesn't like the prince. Then everyone wins.
Can we have some donuts? Jonah whispers back. I'm so hungry.
You two can stop being invisible now,
the prince tells us.
It's just me here.
I pull off the cloak. I guess it would have been fine for Terry to see us, since she thinks we're cooks at the castle. But it's so convenient to just use the cloak.
I'm going outside to practice my eye exercises again,
the prince tells us. Okay, I say, picking up a donut. We'll see you this evening in front of the princess's bedroom. And Prince Jean, isn't Terry so great?
She does seem very nice,
he says before leaving the dining room. Oh, I hope he chooses her.
I have an idea, Jonah says through a mouthful of donut. Since we have the cloak all day, why don't we have some fun? We can explore the castle this way.
I say. Okay, but we need to be careful.
Woohoo! Jonah says. Invisible vacation day, here we come.
We explore the whole castle, and we find a library, a gym, the classrooms where the girls have their school lessons, and even the fancy auditorium where they will have their ballet recital. Terry was right. They never have to leave the castle. But I can see how the princesses might feel a bit trapped. Maybe that's why they are so determined to sneak out every night. Under our cloak, though, Jonah and I are free to do what we please. We sneak food from the kitchen. We read books in the library. In the gym, I ride on the stationary bike, and Jonah tries out the rowing machine. He's really good at it. No wonder the princesses are so good at rowing. They can practice whenever. Before we know it, it's nighttime, and we have to go meet Prince Jean outside the princess's bedroom. Prince Jean is sitting in his usual chair when we arrive under our cloak. Princess One is standing in front of Jean holding a tray.
Compliments of the palace kitchen, she tells him, setting it down on his table.
Oh, thank you, Prince Jean says,
and I see Princess One smile and slip a tiny flask into her pocket. OMG. Did she pour some sort of sleeping potion into something on the tray? She must have. Good night, Prince. Princess One says, still with that mischievous smile, and she heads back into her bedroom to join her sisters. Jonah and I run up behind Prince Jean. It's us, I whisper to the prince. Remember, do not drink anything. Got it, he says. No drinking. Good, Jonah says. But I am going to try this mint chocolate chip ice cream because it's my favorite flavor. I hear a spoon clink against the side of a bowl. What? No, I tell him.
But it's delicious,
the prince says, his mouth full of ice cream. I reach my hand out from under the cloak to try and stop him. But it's too late. The prince's eyes close, and he slumps forward. The spoon drops out of his hand and onto the floor with a little clang. I shake my head. He's out cold and snoring.
Was there a sleeping potion in the ice cream? Jonah whispers.
Yep, I say. Jonah shrugs.
I probably would have fallen for that too. Especially if they put a sleeping potion in ketchup.
Princess One peeks out of the bedroom to see the snoring prince. He's asleep, she calls triumphantly to her sisters. Jonah and I hurry to the bedroom doorway. We watch as all the princesses leap out of their beds wearing their pink pajamas and rush into their huge closet to change.
I guess we're going to the dance party again, Jonah whispers to me. I guess so, I say.
5 minutes later, the princesses emerge from the closet in their fun, funky outfits. Twyla grabs her new black shoes and sits on her bed. She reaches into her bedside table and pulls something out. I watch her stick whatever it is on the bottoms of her shoes. Then she stands up and does a little tap dance. Stick on taps! Fun! How awesome would those be on sneakers? Princess One lifts open the trapdoor. Let's go, she calls.
The moment the last princess is down the hatch, I whisper to Jonah, we run after them. Got it, he says.
All 12 princesses disappear through the trapdoor. As soon as Twyla goes down, Jonah and I rush over before the trapdoor closes, and we race down the stairs. We dash out the secret exit right before Princess One closes it. The princesses run to the riverbank, and Jonah and I are right behind them. Lined up are the same 6 rowboats. The princesses all get in, 2 to a boat. Once again, Jonah and I get into the boat with Ellie and Twyla. Do you think there's any way I can go to the chess tournament tomorrow? Ellie asks as they row along the water. I doubt it, Twyla says. How could you possibly miss the ballet recital? I don't know, Ellie says sadly. Why is Father so strict? Poor Ellie. I wish there was some way I could help her. Focus, Abby, I tell myself. First, Jonah and I have to get the proof from the party tonight and not drop it in the moat. Just like last night, our boat goes under the awesome secret tunnel, and we emerge onto the hidden riverbank with the stone castle. The princesses disembark and hurry inside. Jonah and I, carefully keeping the cloak secure around us, get off the boat and follow them. We're back! The dance hall looks just as amazing as it did last night, with the DRP banner and the DJ. But since I've been here before, it feels less intimidating, too. The disco ball sends rays of glitter over all the dancers, and I can't help but do a little twirl. It's not like anyone can see me anyway. All the princesses start dancing, some with girls, some with boys. I see Terry dancing with 4 and 5. She's doing flips, and a small crowd forms around her to cheer and clap. I wish I had the guts to do what she's doing. Speaking of guts, my stomach is growling. I motion to Jonah, and we slide over to the refreshment table and nab some chocolate chunk cookies. Okay, I say as we chew our cookies under the cloak. I'm going to take another goblet as proof. Jonah smiles. Maybe I should hold on to it this time. I stick out my tongue, but honestly, maybe he should. Because if we don't return with proof, it's off with the prince's head. Which is bad enough on its own, but it also means we won't get the crown ruby for poor Mary Rose. What will happen to her then? Will she just get weaker and weaker? What if she disappears entirely? Failure is not an option. On the refreshments table, there are plenty of silver goblets with DRP stamped on them. I quickly grab one and stuff it under the cloak. Suddenly, I feel the scratchy cloak rub against my head like it's falling. Oh no. The scratchiness is gone. I feel the warm air of the room on my hands and face. Someone must have stepped on the back of the cloak, and now it's slipped off me. I'm exposed for everyone to see.